been talking about the entering into the Melchizedek priesthood or the manifestation of the sons of God. And just go back for just a few moments to the Galatians 4, the fourth chapter and the first verse. Paul said that an heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a spirit, though he be Lord of all. That, and the Amplified puts it, that he differs nothing from a slave, though he be master of all the estate. And that we are now under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. And I believe that we're living in a day, that, well, we have been for some time, that God is birthing a son in the earth. And though we be joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and heirs of everything that God has, that we're under tutors and governors, we're in a time of training to be a part of that ministry that God is going to place in the earth. In Revelation 1:6, it says, and he hath made us, and hath made us, notice that that is past tense, kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And in verse Revelations 5 and verse 10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests. And then he tells us where we shall reign, that we shall reign on the earth. And in James 1:8, he says, of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And you know, we've said this over and over again, that God has always had a first fruits company, or people that have been called out of that company or that last move of God into the now move of God. And I just believe this is a time that God is doing a great and mighty thing. In Hebrews, the 7th chapter and the 12th verse, we read this and we said we're going to get there, and we will eventually. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity of change of the law. That Jesus Christ was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. We've always known this as the love chapter of the Bible. But I've seen some things in this that I believe relates to the unveiling or the manifestation of the sons of God. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 9, it says, we know in part and we prophesy in part. For our knowledge, Amplified says, is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. And our prophecy, our teaching, is fragmented, though and incomplete and imperfect. For now we know in part. You know, I believe that within the recesses of our consciousness is all the knowledge that we need. In fact, I know it is. That the Godhead all dwells within us, and all the knowledge that we need for being birthed into the manifestation of the sons of God. But we know in part and we prophesy in part. And in verse 10 he says, but when that which is perfect is come. Now, you know, for years I've never given much thought to this. But when the Lord brought this to my mind, this is not talking about Jesus. He's already come. He's already come. But he's talking about that manifested, unveiled Son of God. It says, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When the perfect is come, the end part will be done away with. And the word perfect there means brought to an end, finished, lacking nothing, necessary to completeness. In that day, we will lack nothing. Necessary to the completeness of the manifestation of the sons of God. That in part will be done away with. We know that the tabernacle was made into three separate divisions. The outer court, and in the outer court had no covering over it, and the sun was the light, or the natural light, which gave light to that. And many times we signify that as our birthing or our awakening into God. And then there was the holy place, and we've acquainted that according to the Pentecostal revival or Pentecostal movement. And in the holy place there was the candlesticks, which was natural light. And the Pentecostal has been an imperfect or movement, or a mixed, I should say, mixed movement, because it has the natural and the spiritual in it. But then when we move into the holy place, there is no natural light in the holy place. The only light in there is the light of the glory of God. Hallelujah. You see, we are moving, have moved from the outer court to the holy place, into the Holy of Holies. Out of the natural into the spiritual. And when that which is in part, or that is, when the perfect comes, when the unveiling of God's sons take place, when this corruptible puts on incorruptible, and this mortal puts on immortality, then that in part shall be done away with. The incomplete and imperfect will vanish away, become antiquated, void, and suspended. So what does that tell us? That every move of God, or church age as we know it today, nominal churches, they're going to vanish away. They're going to become antiquated, void, and superseded with the infilling, or the unveiling of God's child. And in verse 11 he says, "When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Now that I have become a man, I have done away with childish ways and have put them aside." You know, we've often talked about this walk in God always starts out at us being a babe in God, desiring the sincere miracle of the Word, and then we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, we put away childish things. We put away childish ways. We become a mature man, and we're done with childish word. And verse 12 says, "Now we see through a glass darkly," and that word is mirror, "but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." So now I know, the word there is to learn, or to come to know, or to get knowledge of, to understand, or to receive, or to have knowledge of. And when he goes down here and says, "Then I shall know even as I am known," the first word is gnosko in the Greek, and the second word is epignosko, which means to become fully, thoroughly acquainted with, to know accurately. I shall know even as I am known. And how does God know us? God sees us by the Spirit. That our spirit that came out from God, that Christed spirit within us, is perfect. And as we are walking in this day, this veil is being taken away. And we're seeing ourselves in the reality of who we really are. You know, we pass through, every one of us are being touched by things that touch our lives. We're going through problems, we're going through crises, we're going through situations, and each of these things are teaching us to understand and to know who we are, and that we are God's child. In the Amplified, that verse says, "For now we are looking into a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection." Now, what does a mirror do? It reflects that which you see. So you're looking into that mirror dimly now. You're dimly seeing who you really are. We're God's sons. We say that over and over again. Now we are the sons of God. Now we are those who have been purchased and taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of His dear Son. We're those that are being clothed upon with that divine nature. And we're seeing it only in a glass darkly. But then, face to face. But when that which is perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part, imperfectly. But then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly understood by God. You see, coming to the place where we see ourselves as God sees us. We understand who we are as God sees us. He sees us perfected. He is ministering in the midst of a people in this hour that is being changed from glory to glory. Now in Hebrews 7, the 7th chapter we found, and I'm not going to read all that, but in the 7th chapter we found that the king of Salem, who was Melchizedek, who had neither mother or father, neither beginning of days nor ending of life, that he was the king of righteousness and the king of peace. And in Romans 8:14 it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The word led means to bring, to lead by laying hold of, and in this way to bring to the point of destination. See, the thing of it is that God has predestined you and I to come to a certain point of destination, which is the unveiling of the sons of God in the earth. He's already predestinated that to bring us to that point. And they are the sons of God. The word sons is one who depends on another. Now, I want us to just think about that for just a minute. They are the sons of God. Jesus said, "I can do nothing of myself." But here the word sons means one who depends on another or is his follower. Depending on God. You know, we have found out in our own lives that there's nothing that we can do that can bring us into this point of the unveiling of the sons of God. It is by faith and faith alone. It is by dependency on our Father. And that we have the confidence that Paul said that he that began a good work in us is going to bring it to completion. And we're standing on the very threshold of this happening in our lives. We're standing at the door of the unveiling of the sons of God. Of this imperfect realm passing away. Of putting on and knowing as we are known. And in that, our dependency on God is not going to stop. Jesus said, "I can't do nothing of myself. is in His power, is in His might, is in His wisdom, is in His anointing that He is bringing us forth. Now in Romans 7 and verse 11, they're going into the Melchizedek priesthood. He said, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need were there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? If perfection came by the Levitical priesthood, what further need would there be of another priest? If perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, what further need would there be of another priest? Because we know that in God's economy, everything was pointing in the Old Testament to the coming of the Messiah. And when Jesus came, He did not function under the Levitical priesthood, but He functioned after the Melchizedek priesthood. In verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity also a change in the law. For he of whom these things were spoken pertained to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. Now what was he talking about there? We know that the Levitical priesthood always came out of the tribe of Levi. The tribe of Levi was not given inheritance in the land. They ate of that the other tribes brought to the temple as an offering. And we know that the tribe of Levi came the law. But when Jesus came, who was He born out of? Jesus was born down the tribe of Judah, which no man gave an attendance at the altar. I mean, this was totally different from what had been done in the past. In verse 14 it says, it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, with which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. And it is yet further evidence, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the law of an endless life. For he testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For therefore is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he made a priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but with this an oath of him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, that thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surely of a better testament. And they truly were made priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continued ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that cometh of God by him, seeing that he ever liveth and maketh intercession for him. You know, the thing of it is that there is a distinction in the world today. There is a people that is beginning to walk by revelation. There is a people that is walking in the revealed Word of God in this hour, that are being changed, that are not walking after that Levitical priesthood. that are walking in the divine revelation of God that is speaking into a people for this hour. God's Word being made manifest in the midst of a people. God's Word being unveiled in the midst of a people. That which is in part that is being done away with, that which is in fullness might come forth in this hour. We are not walking by the word of man anymore. We are not walking in the place that man has ever walked before. We are walking by divine purpose. And everything that touches our lives is that which God has proposed to bring change within us. Sometimes those things are painful. Sometimes the areas we walk through are painful. But it is necessary that our eyes have been firmly placed upon the Lord. Because we're not going to function out of that Levitical priesthood. God's taking all of that out of us. All of Babylon, all of that confusion is being taken out of us. That only Christ can be seen in the midst of us. That we're walking where He has divinely proposed for us to walk. These are days that are bringing us ever closer through that day of the unveiling of His sons. The law couldn't do it. Man can't do it. Programs can't do it. It's not by power, it's not by power nor by might, but by Spirit, saith the Lord. His anointing upon us that is bringing forth a word in this hour that is growing us up into the Christ to become the sons of God that He has predestinated us to become. Being transformed, metamorphosed, being clothed upon with the divine nature of God. Walking out of this dimension of time into that which God has called us to be. We are His sons. We are His children. We are those that have been predestinated to be unveiled in the earth. We are those from which the water of life is going to flow into creation and water that seed of the Spirit that is in every man. That is going to cause it to awaken and to be birthed into the kingdom of God. What a ministry and what a power that God is bringing forth within us. And of necessity, God has chosen that He would not zap us or nobody could lay their hands on us and pray for us to be birthed into that unveiling. But He has proposed it in Himself. If I can find it here, but in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, I go back to this every now and then because God said, I have seen the travail, Ecclesiastes 3:10, that God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised by. He has made everything beautiful in His time. And also He has set the world, and that word world is eternity, in their hearts. So that no man can find out the work which God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. And I like this. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken away from it. God doeth it that men should fear before Him. That which has been, listen to this, that which has been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. You see, God has set eternity in man's hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning. And whatsoever God doeth, it shall be done forever. And nothing can be added to it, and and nothing can be taken away from it. And that which it has already been is now. And that which he has already been, and that which has been is now, and that which is to be has already been. Think about that. That which has already been is now, and that which is to be has already been. And God requireth that which is past. You see, God has set eternity in men's hearts. God has placed His seed in the heart of every man. The Bible says that He lighteth the light of every man that entereth into the world. He is the light of every man that entereth into the world. The seed that is in every man, He has put eternity in men's hearts. Eternity is dwelling in you, in your hearts. And nothing can be added to it, or nothing can be taken away from it. Our life has been a predestinated life from A to Z. That we'll walk in that line. We think sometimes we walk away from it, but no. God has predestined us to walk that line. And everything that has been is now, and everything that is to be has already been. It boggles my mind when I begin to consider that God is in the eternal now. We're only seeing a part. This instant that we're in right now, we see the reality around us. But by the eye of the Spirit, we are beginning to behold that which will be in our lives, the unveiling of the sons of God. And there is a hunger and a desire and a burning flame of the Spirit of God within us that is desiring to see that day of unveiling. And just as sure as we're sitting here this morning, we know that that is going to happen. Because God's already declared it. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. God never had a plan B, C, D, Z, right on down the line. God has had one plan, plan A, that was enacted before the foundation of the world, that no man could add to it, no man could take away from it, and no man could turn God from it. And that being is being worked out, that word is being worked out within our lives. He was the Word, and He was made flesh, and He dwelt among us. And He lives within us. On the day of Pentecost, He came back in the form of the Spirit, and He dwells within us. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and what He has said will be enacted in the earth. No matter what we see, no matter where we look, His Word is being enacted in us. We are living in a day that we're walking by the revelation or the unfolding of the Word that is spoken to us in Revelation. His words are becoming spirit and life, and He is drawing us ever upward and ever closer into Him. He is ever expanding our consciousness of divine principles and divine words, and in showing us the work that we are going to be doing in the earth. This well of living water that is flowing out of us is going to water creation, the seed that is in every man. Mm-hmm. And that seed is going to spring forth and begin to grow. Thank God. Thank God for the day and the hour that we're living in. Amen.